This is a podcast from the Center on Budget and Policy Priorities, a nonpartisan research institute that explores budget policies and issues affecting low and moderate income Americans. The following is testimony by the Center's Executive Director, Robert Greenstein, before the House Ways and Means Subcommittee on Select Revenue Measures on Tuesday, March 23, 2010. Mr. Greenstein discusses the need to implement a balanced approach in addressing the long-term budget deficit.
Our team of budget experts at our center, led by three former senior CBO officials, has produced budget projections that indicate that if current policies remain unchanged, the debt will soar to about 300% of GDP by 2050. To avert that problem and stabilize the debt at its current share of the economy would require about a 28% increase in taxes or a 22% reduction in expenditures for every federal program in the budget every year for the next 40 years between now and 2050. The two main sources of rising federal expenditures over the long run are, not surprisingly, rising costs throughout the whole U.S. healthcare system, public and private, and the aging of the population. Those factors will drive up the costs of Medicare, Medicaid, and Social Security, and it is the growth in the cost of those three programs alone that accounts for all of the increase in non-interest spending as a share of GDP over the next 40 years and as far as the eye can see. In fact, total federal spending for all programs other than Medicare, Medicaid, and Social Security, including all entitlements other than those three, is projected to decline as a share of the economy, both in the coming decade and in the decades after that. That's not where the problem comes from. It also should be noted that the 2001 and 3 tax cuts are implicated here. If policymakers were to let those measures expire on schedule at the end of 2010 or to fully pay for them, that would shrink the fiscal gap between now and 2050 by about two-fifths. Another way to look at it is that the cost of making permanent the tax cuts for people over $250,000 a year would itself cost as much over the next 75 years, or nearly as much over the next 75 years, as the entire 75-year Social Security shortfall. Stated another way, if you think correctly that the Social Security shortfall is a contributor to the long-term fiscal problem, then if one makes the tax cuts for people over $250,000 permanent, one essentially doubles that in size. So the bottom line is that we really need a balanced approach here that includes a combination of sustained reform to the healthcare system, reductions in federal expenditures, and increase in federal revenues. To be sure, the single most important step over the long term is slowing the growth of healthcare spending. The new legislation makes important first steps. Much more will need to be done over time as we learn more how to do that. But even with further major reforms in health care, it is likely to prove impossible to hold health care costs to their current share of the economy. Older people have more health care costs than younger people, and the population's aging. And the primary cause of increase from year to year in health care costs is advances in medical technology, and the country is not going to say we don't want the benefits of medical breakthroughs. So an older society with more medical breakthroughs is inevitably going to spend more as a share of GDP on health care. And this means that the answer to the question of whether we can achieve fiscal sustainability wholly on the spending side is, as Len Berman also said, no. This leads to the conclusion that higher taxes, along with reductions in projected spending, both need to be on the table, which in turn leads me to the conclusion that, unlike the last round of major tax reform in 1986, coming tax reform efforts cannot be revenue neutral. They need to make a contribution to long-term deficit reduction. As Len noted, a key part of this needs to be looking at tax expenditures, or what Alan Greenspan, among others, has referred to as tax entitlements. People often talk of taxes and spending as though they're entirely separate parts of the budget. With tax expenditures now over $1 trillion a year, roughly equal in cost to Medicare and Social Security combined, the distinction between taxes and spending becomes increasingly suspect. And as Len has noted, there's a lot of inefficiency in that part of the budget. On the corporate side, we often hear it said correctly that the top marginal U.S. corporate income tax rate is above that of our competitors. What we don't hear as often, but it's right there, in the 2007 Bush Treasury Department study of corporate income tax, is that the effective corporate tax rate in the United States is actually lower than the average for our competitors. We have a high rate and a very narrow corporate tax base, which means that there should be room to reduce corporate preferences enough both to reduce the top corporate rate and to get a contribution to deficit reduction out of that reform. Final point I'll make is many analysts and also the President has set an important goal of getting the deficit down to the point where the debt doesn't continue to rise as a share of the economy, which means we've got to get the deficit down after the economy recovers to no more than 3% of GDP. That will take a variety of actions, and the Congress faces key tests in the next several months that will have a heavy bearing on whether or not we can really get to 3% of GDP in the years ahead. Specifically, it is critical to allow the tax cuts for high-income households to expire on schedule and to hold the line on the 2009 estate tax parameters. Extending the high-income tax cuts rather than allowing them to expire would add $826 billion to the debt over the coming decade and more in decades after that. Weakening the estate tax would add tens of billions of dollars on top of that. So returning to the top marginal rates that we had in the Clinton years, when high-income people thrived, the economy boomed, small businesses created jobs at a faster rate than they did in this current decade, seems like an eminently sensible first step. And the bottom line, once again, is that the long-term fiscal challenge is so serious that everything needs to be on the table, both program expenditures and revenues.
Thank you for listening to this podcast from the Center on Budget and Policy Priorities. You can follow us on Twitter at Center on Budget, find us on Facebook, or create a My Center account at centeronbudget.org.